Welcome to Sister Friends Cups and Conversation. I'm your host, Teresa Cooper. I know it's been a while, and you've probably been wondering, where are my sister friends? Where are they? You know, life has been full, and a lot has been coming at us real swift and fast, and we haven't been able to get our season 8 off the ground. Now I have all my guests, I have all the hot topics, I have all my new cups, but life is just interrupting and we're not being able to do the production right now. And so say a prayer for us so that some airwaves can get cleared and me and Catherine and all of our guests can upload season 8. But until season 8 downloads, we've been wanting to do something new, and that something new is our something in between. And so thank you for joining me today. I know your time is valuable, and I'm just by myself, Teresa Cooper today, but I wanted to talk to you about something that's just been, you know, walking around my mind. And so we'll get to that in just a few minutes. But I want to say that, yes, you are listening to Sister Friends Cups and Conversation, our podcast. And I want to ask you to do me a favor. I want you to subscribe to our YouTube channel. And I want you to click the notification bell so that you can have all of our updates, get some encouraging, you know, community photos, behind the scenes photos and announcements. And then also follow us on our podcast page on Facebook. I know Facebook is having a lot of transition going to Meta. And so, but we're still on there. So, you know, find our page, find our podcast page, and also our Sister Friends page. And then we also have a Sister Friends group that's a private group that you can join. And we just share articles and ask questions and have encouraging conversation after. It's called Something to Sip On, and that's on our Facebook page as well, and it's a private group. So all of our podcast platforms, you can find us on Spotify. You can find us on Anchor, and Anchor actually has now merged with Spotify. We're on iHeart. We're on iTunes, Breaker, and so many more platforms. And so join the podcast family, and then also join us on our Facebook Lives and on our YouTube channel for our recorded live Sister Friends sessions. And so, yes, season 8 is coming. And we are just creating and praying and downloading some more meaningful conversations, some necessary conversations. And so we don't want you to miss out on the announcements when it's time to upload our season 8. I promise you it's coming. And so, you know, today on Something in Between, I wanted to just talk to you about something that's just been, you know, taking up a little space in my brain and in my spirit. And I've been thinking about it, and I've asked different people a question about it. And so I just want to have a conversation with you, real intimate, about what's been occupying some space in my head. And really, it's simple. We talked about at the beginning of our Something in Between. If you didn't hear that broadcast, look for it. We talked about clarity, and that in 2023, that this was going to be our word for 2023. It was going to be clarity is the word, where things were going to be brought to a simpleness, and that we were going to be able to see clearly what the perspectives are and things that have been hidden, or things that have felt like they were you know, shattered or in pieces, like as if you had cataracts, would all of a sudden, through the power of prayer and meditation and contemplation, that God was going to bring it into focus for you, and that you were going to be able to have such a sense of clarity, assuredness, simplicity, and that you would be able to see correctly what's going on within your life. And so that's, we're still dealing with that, and we're still, you know, walking in that space. I don't know about you, but there's been a lot going on that has been, it's been brought into view, and it's been brought into clarity, into clear view, so that there's no confusion, so that you could see things exactly as they are, and having the benefit of that. So being sure-footed, being absolute, that's one of the many definitions of clarity. And so, you know, as life has been happening and things beyond our control, and then some things within our control, we've had to ask questions, not just questions of ourselves, but maybe questions for the people within our circle or within our tribe, because none of us are just individuals. We don't just live unto ourselves, but there's a group, whether it's a family group, or whether it's a friendship group, or a working environment. We are a part of communities. And so being a part of communities, sometimes because you're dealing with people, stuff happens, emotions flare and disappointments manifest, and trouble can, you know, lurk, and competition and disappointments and expectations are blown, you know, just stuff happens. And so we've been living for a couple of years now where we've been hearing the word enough. And we've been hearing the word enough on different platforms. And I wanted to talk today. We've been dealing with the word enough from the perspective of I am enough, or an individual realizing and coming into a greater acknowledgement that they are within themselves enough. And so we've talked a lot about that, being enough and embracing the truth of our enoughness, you know, because life, and not just life in general, but people, and very sometimes very specific people, can make us feel as if we're deficient, or make us, we'll try to give a narrative or a presentation to us as if we're not enough. And if we did, you know, this or that, then we could become enough, instead of truly seeing us and embracing us as an individual, and knowing that who we are at that moment in time and what we bring to the table at that moment in time is enough. Not enough in the way that we don't stretch, or that we don't grow, or that we don't expand. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about people truly seeing you, and people truly knowing you at your reference point. And you can't truly know someone unless you're intimate with them. And when I mean intimate, I don't mean in a sexual way. I mean intimate in a, we have spent time, I've listened to you, or we've had eye to eye contact, and I've seen you. I've seen not just you as an individual, but I've seen your footprints. I've watched you from afar, and I've watched you up close. I know you. And so in knowing you, I've truly accepted you. Do you have faults? Absolutely. Do you have shortcomings? Absolutely. But me accepting you and declaring that you and your personhood is absolutely enough is powerful. And when people realize that you're mirroring back to them that they are enough, it just takes the relationship, whether it's a friendship relationship, whether it's a marital relationship, whether it's a coworker relationship, just to a whole nother level, and the respect that's gained and the respect that's reciprocated is just so freeing and liberating, and it allows someone to fully bloom and fully transform into their best self, because they don't have to do performance. They know that they're in a space that says they are enough. They're capable. It's all in them. If I just, you know, continue to be who I am to them, it's all going to come to the surface, and it's going to yield a fruit, and it's going to yield a pattern that's not just going to benefit them, but it's going to benefit the whole tribe. So I want to kind of stay on topic here, because I really feel where we're going with this. I want to make sure I'm clarifying. And if I could, I would just give you just a brief definition of what enough is. And the dictionary simply says, the definition of enough is sufficient. It's adequate. It's ample. It's abundant. It's full measure. Wow, that's good. Full measure. It's abundant. It's sufficient. It's adequate. It's ample. So when we think about being enough, we're saying, I'm abundant. I'm sufficient. I'm not deficient. I'm sufficient. I have everything. Who I am is all present. It's ample. It's abundant. It's full measure. When we say I am enough. Today I want to ask this question, because this is really what's been, like I said, because we've conversated, whether it's on television or print, people's books, we've just heard this quite often. I want to say over the last maybe 5 years, you know, affirmations, I am enough. You know, we've heard that. But over the last several months, I've just thought to myself, as I've ran across people, and I've thought, and these people have been Christians, people that have confessed their personal relationship with the Lord. These people are, you know, people that go to a church on a regular basis. And then life happens, as it does for all of us. And in the process of helping them process in life, I've had to ask questions, and even self-reflected for myself, but even as I'm adding advice or clarity, pastoral care to people, I got to a place in my heart where I was saying, is Jesus enough? Is he enough? And I think I want to just start there for just a minute. Have you, as a Christian, been confronted within your own relationship with the Lord and what you know about him? And when you read about his words, the things that he has said, how has that deposited in your spirit? And has it deposited in such a way that it has become everything to you? That it has become, or it has built literally a platform for your life to literally stand on? And that you've thought about it, and you've prayed about it, and you've contemplated, and you've meditated, and you've just sat with it, and have thought about it in such a way that you could say, he is enough. He is abundant. He is full measure. He is my total sufficiency. He is, now we, cause you know, sometimes we're fighting for I am, but I'm asking you today, is he enough? Cause I think about a lot of times, you know, I've ran across so many people and I have such a great compassion for them that have been hurt in church or hurt by another fellow brother or sister. And that hurt, whether it was slowly or whether it was swiftly, they found themselves on the outskirts, out of the community of gathering. And because it has accelerated, and because it feels as if everyone is so now very high alert with offense and high alert with maybe the trauma, the after math of that disappointment or that. And I'm not talking about predatory behavior or abuse. I'm just talking about people gathering and people interacting and people having feelings, and those feelings are real, and they become hurt or feeling, you know, overwhelmed or overlooked or feeling bullied, but not really feeling like as if you've been heard. Just regular stuff that happens, you know, regular life. And at some point, Jesus got lost in the system or in the organization, or you felt like you were walking away from the gathering, but in walking away from the gathering, you somehow walked away from him. Making a determination or a proclamation or coming to a greater understanding of what boundaries are within a system or within a gathering of people, somehow that boundary also included Jesus. And I say that because it's just reality. It's what's happening right now. And so because I'm seeing it in, you know, my profession and in my mission, dealing with people, I've had to stop and ask people. I know what they did. I know what the organism did, the organization did, but what did Jesus do? And then somehow they'll come to that realization, well, Jesus didn't do anything. I'm not blaming God. But their actions and their disappointment affects what God cares about and what's a principle or what's a, what's the right word? What the architecture, design or plan that he's placed in the earth, that he moves in, that he lives in. So it affects him in that way. It's a better way to say it is that you can't love the head and hate the body. Jesus is the head of the body of Christ, but in that body, there's many members. So you can't hate the members that make up the body and then declare, but I have such great love for the head. No, it's, you have to love the whole body. You have to take the whole scroll. You can't just, it's not a buffet. It's not a, you know, make your own, make your own buffet, pick what you like and what you don't like. All of us, especially as those that profess to be Christians, to be disciples, to be followers of the Lord Jesus, that's our daily pursuit, is to accept and acknowledge where am I in the body? Am I the eye? Am I the hand? Am I the foot? You know, am I his expression? Being his ambassador? And am I doing that well? So I ask you today, is he enough? I know the pain is real. I know the hurt is real. I know the disappointment is real. But can you separate all of that from him? The scripture says, and just giving you something to think about, because it's just been, you know, sitting in my head for quite a while, and I wanted to talk to you about it. And maybe this can be an ongoing conversation. In Acts 17 and 28, the scripture says, "For in him we live and move and have our being." He's enough because it's in him I live. I am alive because of him. When I'm in him, when I am submitted to him, when I am joined with him, when I have been baptized into the body of Christ, I realize that it is for in him we live and move. I have movement. I have forwardness. I have faith. I have expectation. I have movement, and I have being. For it's in him we live and move and have our being. And the next verse says, as some of your own poets have said, this is Acts 17 and 28, we are his offspring. He's enough. He becomes enough when we allow that truth to take root in our lives that says, except I abide in him, there's no life. That's why he's enough. He's abundant. He's sufficient. He supplies all that the nourishment and the need, everything that I have. And I can only become enough because it's in him I live and move and have my being. I also think that, because what happens is life and circumstances and disappointments can allow us to charge him wrongfully. Sometimes we don't do it consciously. Like, we just know, yes, God is at fault. You know, we don't approach it that way. Because most of the times there's a reverence that we have. But what happens, it's like just those little micro things, little by little by little by little by little, that we end up at a place where we begin, through our disassociation with our ignorance of, or our disappointment, that we find ourselves wrongfully charging him, and he's simply saying to us, I'm where I was at the beginning. I haven't moved. I am still that same open door, that same hands open wide, saying, call on me. The day that you call on me, I will answer. I'm still the same that I said that no one could redeem you. I had to come down to earth and be the sacrifice to redeem you, so that we can be back in fellowship with one another. My love and my pursuit for you was so radical that I reduced, as God, I reduced myself and created a body, so the scripture says, and came in the form of a servant. Was born at the lowest state in the earth so that I could identify with you to redeem you. I became the least. I became the first. I became the cornerstone so that you could know this everlasting love, this unconditional love. And so many times in our pain and in our disappointment, we just put it all together and somehow he's found himself in your life in the middle of that wrongful charge. And he's like saying, I've never fought against you. I've always been on your side. I've been your greatest champion. Matter of fact, I spoiled principalities so that you could be not just a conqueror, but so that you could be more than a conqueror. I fought the fight for you. And so sometimes in our lives, the cares of life, and I think it's the plan of the evil one, the forces of darkness that tries to minimize their presence, and knowing that somehow we're gonna wrongfully charge the God, the source. Did you get that? The God and the source of our deliverance wrongfully. My next thought in Is God Enough? Is to ask you, you know, do you believe that maybe your gratitude, the gratitude levels, we have to make sure we monitor our gratitude levels, because I think that our gratitude levels are directly related to our remembrance and our connection to his abundance, to him being enough, that he doesn't have to, that he paid the price once to redeem us, to give us life and that more abundantly, and that he doesn't have to keep rehearsing that because it was finished when it was finished. But it's gratitude that causes us to be remindful, to remember. And sometimes we don't remember who God is and that he is enough because our gratitude levels are low. It's just something to think about. There's another scripture. It's in 1 John 5:19-21. And it says, little children, keep yourselves from idols, from false gods, from anything and everything that would occupy the place in your heart due to God. There's a place in your heart that only belongs to God. And when he doesn't capture that, that's connected to the enoughness. Then it says, from any sort of substitute for him that would take first place in your life. Amen. Look that scripture up. 1 John 5:19-21. I don't think it would be in the scripture if he didn't already know that we wouldn't have to protect and to guard ourselves from the idols of life that try to sneak in and steal the God place in our heart, the place that only belongs to him. Is he enough? I want you to spend the next couple of days. This is going to probably play on a Wednesday. And I want you to rehearse your gratitude level. And I want you to ask yourself, is Jesus enough? Thank you for joining me on this most intimate conversation today. I hope I've said something that's helped you, encouraged you, inspired you, pricked you to just go a little bit deeper, because that's what sister friends do. This is a meaningful conversation, and I'm just so very glad that I had an opportunity to just talk to you about it. I think I'll do a part two and bring in girlfriend, bring in Kathy, and we'll just go just a little bit deeper. I hope you're ready for it, because this is something in between.